If anyone leaves this morning saying that the pastor says that the end times are going to end with storms and bad weather and so forth, you didn't really listen to the message. So I want you to kind of mull that over. One of the minor prophets named Haggai, quoted in the Old Testament, reminded the Jewish people soon after they had returned from the Babylonian captivity exile, if you will, about an important thing. So here they were, 20 or 30 years after the exile, back in the promised land, and here's what Haggai had to say. Speaking for the Lord, he says in the 17th verse of the second chapter, I smote you. He's speaking for God. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail in all the labors of your hands. Yet ye turned not to me, saith the Lord. What's he referring to? He's referring to all the things that happened to them over and over again before they went into Babylonian captivity. And he's saying, now I free you from that, and about three decades later, you're doing the same thing. You're doing the same. You haven't learned a thing. Amen? That's what I'm going to talk about this morning. How little man learns unless he knows the Word of God. You see, the nation was even then just a few short years from that terrible experience of Babylonian captivity, and once again, already, they were beginning to turn away from God. Notice what God was reminding his backsliding people of. Blasting and mildew and hail. Now all three of these are natural elements that men have no control over at all. Amen? Is that right? Natural elements. It made me wonder, what if? Just what if instead of ISIS and Islamic terrorists, God is using natural elements to remind the United States of America of its backsliding today? Suppose that's possible? I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. I said, do you suppose that's possible?
Yes, sir.
Of course it is. We worry about radical strapping explosive on themselves and invading sporting arenas and shopping malls. But what about floods? What about hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes and blizzards and droughts? Haggai, the Old Testament prophet, used three types of natural elements, natural phenomena, if you will. Let's just think about them for a few minutes this morning. The first element God sent was blasting. Blasting in Hebrew is blight. The word blight. Now this word is kind of considered archaic. We don't talk about blight much, but blight is considered it's a manifestation, if you will, of different diseases that destroy and deteriorate and ruin crops of every kind. Many of the very same flora diseases that we have no known cures for today. Withering and decaying crops produce a lack of essential food supplies. Something man has no defense against, amen? Something guns and bombs, drones and armies, and military strength and powerful weapons have no ability to conquer. The second element was mildew. Now we're familiar with that. Mildew is a fungus. It's a single-celled organism that lives solely by decomposing and absorbing organic material. Mildew, mold, rust, and yeast are all types of fungi crops and are destroying the water supplies, polluting ponds and streams, and nourishing the germs that thrive in the waste material produced by us. This quietly working enemy of healthy life affecting human food supplies, medicinal herbs, and all the natural habitat that we rely on. The third element spoken of by the prophet Malachi is hail. Now we in the Midwest have all had the experience at one time or another of this destructive weather phenomena. Often, of course, destructive winds and lightning occur during hailstorms. Blight, mildew, and hail are all representatives of nature that manifests itself and that man is helpless to stop or control. These three are simply examples of the human race's inability to control when they occur. Others certainly that come to mind are earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, atmospheric storms of all types, the deluges and floods of heavy rains, the blizzards and ice storms of winter, and the long, harsh droughts of parched fields and crops. We see throughout human history the terrible suffering and loss of life these natural catastrophes bring to our race here on planet Earth, don't we?
Yes.
Sometimes, too often, we read in the papers about hundreds and hundreds die in natural disasters. The great flood of Genesis, the plagues of Pharaoh's Egypt, the hordes of locusts, and the blight, mildew, and hail spoken of in this morning's text. Do you just suppose that unusual weather that our nation has experienced since the 9/11 attack might just be a sign like God sent to the human nation during Haggai's lifetime?
Yes.
I just wonder, you know. Listen to our Lord when he speaks of the time just before his second coming. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. I begin reading with verse 1 of the 24th chapter of Matthew. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to it to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be let here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" And Jesus answered, now this is Jesus. This is God himself, amen? Listen to what he said. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I'm Christ, and they shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination and desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes, and woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck on those days. But pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as not seen since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then a man shall say unto you, "Lo, here is Christ," or "There, believe it not." But there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. I want to summarize this with these short words. Jesus has already told us how it's going to be. Don't be surprised when you see this thing, because I told you that's what's going to happen. Amen? Isn't that very plain? I told you what's going to happen. Don't be surprised when it happens. How quickly we forget. Don't we? About 25 or 30 years back in the Promised Land, and through Haggai, God says, you don't remember anything. Well, I just thought that it was interesting for us to just suppose maybe the signs aren't just war and bloodshed. Maybe the signs are natural. Possible. Possible, isn't it? There's something to think about. Oh yes, there's much more than blasting mildew and hail. But the point is this. Just as the Jews forgot about the reason for the Babylonian captivity so soon after their return to the Promised Land, don't you suppose we may have forgotten God's richest blessings on this nation? I do. I think many of us of this present generation have forgotten why the pilgrims came here and established this nation. History has a tendency to repeat itself. Listen carefully again to God's message. Read it. Remember, God is saying very clearly and plainly, remember what happened to you when you turned away from me. And now you're doing it. Read about it in the Old Testament. Again and again and again and again. The human race hasn't changed. Listen very carefully to what God is saying very clearly and very plainly to us today. I go back to the Old Testament and read from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and Roberta's already quoting it. If my people, listen to what he says, if my people, which are called by my name, Christians, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. No question, if they do what I say, I'll heal them. If they don't, well, you read it, or I read it to you. Say, well, you're just on one of these national kicks. No, I'm not. Our country's in trouble, kids. You don't think so, just read the paper tomorrow. Jesus said very clearly, there will be false Christs And the neo-theology so popular today is just that. Being preached in some pulpits as I stand here. Neo-theology. He said there will be wars. So all you need to do now is watch your television, read the newspaper. He said there will be famines, pestilences, and natural disasters all around the world. Remember the tsunami? Remember the earthquakes? Remember the, oh, on and on and on. These, Christ says, of what? Just the beginning. Just the beginning. Then follow offenses, hatred, betrayals, followed by love waxing cold, and finally the great tribulation itself. I think it just may be time for God's people to humble themselves. And to pray and to seek God's face and to turn from their wicked ways. And not forget, like the Israelites did. Notice very carefully here. It is not the face of the God of Mohammed or of Confucius or of Buddha of Mary Baker Eddy, of Joseph Smith, that we are to see. Amen?
That's right.
It is not the God of neo-religionists or of the New World Order leaders or of the silent majority that we are to seek. We are to seek the face of the one who spoke everything into existence. It is the face of the one true God. He is the one we should seek and humble ourselves to and pray to. It is He we are to confess our shortcomings to, because, my beloved people, He is the only one that can heal our land. It doesn't matter who you elect. Go vote. Because we're told in this book to support the government. Even if it's a corrupt government, go vote. But ask God to help us. Knowing that He is the only one that can heal our land, knowing that the future is in God's hands and not in ours, let us trust God and go forward, Christians. Whether it's the weather, or war, it makes no difference. We're looking for Jesus to come again, amen?
Amen.
Hey, it's a material. Whether it's mildew, what's this new thing with the mosquitoes? That's something new. Or war, somebody walking in and blowing up your store or something. It's a material. Looking for Jesus to come again. Aren't you glad you're a Christian this morning? Amen. If you aren't, you can be. If you're hearing, you're not a Christian, you can be. He turns no one away that comes confessing sin and accepting His Lord. No. In the new heaven and the new earth, spoken of by Peter, there will be no blasting, there will be no mildew, and there will be no hail. Here I read what it will be. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Well, the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely."